All right, bro. You hit record on that? Cool. I appreciate you guys being here. Just let the people know real quick who you are, what you do, if you don't mind.
Okay. What's up, guys? My name is Joe Cash. I'm from New York City. I'm an artist, entrepreneur, content creator. I do a lot of different things.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about the transition to making music full-time for you, and the parallel for other people is pursuing whatever they want to make a career, like, full-time. So how did you make that decision personally?
I think the most important thing in terms of, like, transitioning full-time is to really figure it out. Like, I feel like it just happens. Like, you like, oh, shit, like, I got people. Can I curse on it?
Yeah.
All right, but it's like, yo, I got people that's like fans and quote unquote fans supporting me, like really supporting me. Like, you start to see the change. And like, for instance, how I'm here right now, I met Snow through the internet, like TikTok, like the power of the internet. It's like a team started forming around me. I met Logan, my brother right here, Noah. He's my videographer from Detroit. No, so these pieces came like little by little to the point where it's like, all right, now I'm here to be able to do it full time.
Yep. And it was organic too, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think, the best indicator of things working out or you being on the path that you're meant to be on.
Yeah.
I think when you try to force something, there's too many pieces that aren't like in alignment necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
We could touch on so many things. You know, how do you figure out how to manage relationships? Like, what kind of people do you gravitate towards?
Okay, that's a good question. And I gravitate towards creatives, like-minded people, people that's like just building. But I feel like what I've been doing is like focusing on myself a lot. And I find that the more that I focus on myself and get things done, I attract like the right people around me. And things just tend to happen. Like, you know, right. You get those moments where you just in a place, you just meet somebody. Like, I'll tell you about it.
Sure.
I saw that you was talking about NFTs, for just an instance. We was in the car in Manhattan. We was driving across the bridge about a month before I was dropping my project. I was like, yo, I heard about NFTs. I was like, yo, I'm going to drop an NFT, bro. Like, we was in the car. Okay. I'm like, yeah, I want to drop an NFT. And he was like, wow. I was like, yo, because nobody's doing it. And like, I see what it's doing. So we get out the car. We go into this random shop that we never been in before. As soon as we walk in the shop, it's two people in the shop. And LES, dude is like, yo, they start talking about NFTs, like just crypto talk. So we like, oh, I meet this guy from Satoshi's Closet, Mike, his name is Mike. And we talk, and he's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm putting out an album in a month and a half, 2 months. He's like, yeah, I come in for you, just like da 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 da. And that's what he's just been doing. He's just started, like, he got a company where he helps artists mint their projects. Without not through variable, just like literally make the contract, all of that, and put it on. So I built a relationship with him. So to go back to the point, it's like things just start happening. Like once you really like in tune, like with what you're doing, I feel like that's how everything just falls in place.
100%. I couldn't agree more. But if we talk about, you know, like there's strategy behind maintaining relationships as well, even if you don't necessarily fuck with the people.
Okay.
And that's the part I want to get out is, do you see value in like having a baseline personality where you can interact with people even if you don't fuck with them? Or do you only mess with people that you like align with? You get what I'm saying? Like we meet so many people, right? And you're like, I would not want to have this person around. I would not want to do business with this person based off of whatever. Do you strategically move around that? Because I know you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in this industry especially. So do you strategically move around that, or do you just have like, I just got to have like my own base level personality and whatever happens, happens?
I would say the baseline, like I'm a big thing, like I'm doing me basically. So people come and they go, and if they stay, they stay. It just feels right. Like, you know, like if you meet somebody and something goes left, especially the older you get. How old are you?
24,
okay. Yeah, so I feel like, especially in the last, I'm 27. So in the last couple of years, like I've been learning like a lot about myself. Like, okay, this is what you do. Nah, you gotta see this for that.
Right.
Reading books, yep.
What kind of books?
self-help books, like those books that's like really like helps your mentality, help you understand that we all are on the same path doing things, and people, a lot of the times when people do things, it has nothing to do with you. So really detaching yourself from what other people do.
Would you say you're more action-oriented, or is there a balance between like reading books and mm-hmm. then acting? Like, have you always been like, I gotta act and then I'll learn along the way type shit? Like,
I'm in between. You know, I definitely act, but I definitely strategize. So I'm in between. It's not like I'm just like a, but that's a thing, right? Like, some of my friends are more like, yo, let's go do it. So mm-hmm. that brings a balance. Like, for instance, Noah right here, like, he's like a Leo. Like, he's like, yeah, let's do it. So I found that people like this help me when I'm like, yo, I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're like thinking too much.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. No, I feel you. There's so much value in my opinion, acting and then learning along the way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that deters a lot of people from starting or pursuing what they want to pursue. Mm-hmm. Like, you get like caught up in this loop of overthinking or worrying about, you, am I ready or is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, like your mentality in terms of making music or pursuing art. Do you always like believe? Have you always believed? Or is it something that came about because of the reaction from other people?
It was a belief, because when I first started doing music, like, I wasn't supposed to do music. Like, nobody would have guessed this 5 years ago, 2021. Yeah, like, I was a basketball player, full-time athlete my whole life. I went to college, and then I even went to grad school playing basketball. I graduated, and I'm like, oh, I want to be a rapper. But just the way I went about it, like, I knew what I wanted to do. So, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to study this. Like, take from basketball what I learned from basketball. Like, yo, you got to really work at something to really be good at it. So I just worked. And then got to the point where it's like, all right, it's time to go. Like, now I believe. But something I learned, especially in this last, like, year and a half, and I learned it from TikTok, because TikTok is, like, a platform where you could go viral in a day. And what I learned was, the least that you care, the more that you just in your natural state, is the more that people gravitate towards you and like appreciate you. So that app has taught me that, yo, nothing really matters. Like, because in the beginning when I got on it, like, I had some success early on, and then I hit like a standstill, and I was like, damn. And you hit a standstill, you're going to get 100,000 views, and now you get 100 per view, and it's like, the more that you post, like, it's gonna happen. You just got to keep on doing what you're doing.
Right, consistency is everything.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure if I caught it earlier, but how long have you been doing music?
I've been doing music. I put my first song out April 2nd,
2018. The
Plan. Yep. And, yeah.
I went through Apple Music to look at your discography,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a lot of stuff out. So, yeah. Clearly you've been consistent.
Yeah.
What has, like, the value been for you in terms of being consistent? Like, what did you get by being consistent?
I'm starting to see it now. Like, I'm starting to see it where people are starting to acknowledge what I'm doing. Like, they see some progress. So, like, that's when it's like, yeah. Like,
I mean, you got him quoting your lyrics.
Yeah.
Which we can get into as well, you know, like,
yeah.
Just the self-awareness that mm-hmm. you're reflecting in your music. And what did he say that you gravitated towards?
Sleep good,
because
I'm the only person to be on the planet.
Yeah.
All right. So what made you want to say that? Because that comes with, like, self-awareness.
Yeah.
You can pretend you can be somebody else to fucking get clout on TikTok or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can do certain things, uh-huh. but to be yourself and be comfortable with knowing you're your true self
uh-huh.
takes a lot of work and self-awareness.
Yeah. Could you repeat that question one more time?
Just, like, speak on where that self-awareness came about. Okay. How did it come about?
I sleep well knowing I'm the only me on the planet. Because, like, I'm in the music industry. So, like, when I'm making music, I'm from New York City. It's the mecca of hip-hop. Right now, like, the hottest thing is, like, New York City drill, which is, like, teenagers. It's, like, the current, like, hip-hop is full of trends.
Right.
So I'm in a point where I'm in the industry. Everybody knows, as an artist, the main thing is, like, yo, how do I get paid off of this? Like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, everybody's fighting that back and forth. And now you got this cookie right in front of you, like, yo, you could do this. But I just believe in longevity, like, just being true to myself, and it's the most rewarding, and it helps me sleep at night, literally. Like, when I know, like, I could go anywhere and be myself and not feel no way and just continue to progress, that's why I say stuff like that.
Is there value in playing along the lines of conformity for you? Like, for example, experimenting with the drill sound because you know it's hot right now, seeing like how that resonates with people.
Yeah.
Or do you, because I listen to some of your music and it's very like lyrical.
Yeah.
It's not really, how do I explain the other genre? You know, like drill, it's not really drill. So
yeah.
You see value in maybe fucking around with the drill scene, trying to like do something there, or just staying true to yourself, regardless of how long it takes.
Yeah. Well, I've experimented with drill. Like I did it in my way. So cool. I'm just creating things that I like. So if I feel like doing it, then I'm gonna do it. I think the more I try to focus on how I feel, the more that I feel, of course I'm thinking like, yo, I should do this, I should do that strategically. But a lot of it comes from what I feel, like just doing what I want.
Yeah, yep. And that just speaks to the authenticity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just doing what you want. But talk about like your journey rather. What in your journey contributed to you realizing being authentic is better than being whatever the hottest trend is?
Okay.
That's not even music-wise. That's just person-wise.
Just personal-wise.
Dress in a certain way, like talk in a certain way, acting a certain way.
Yeah.
What made you want to be yourself?
What made me want to be myself is that when I'm being myself, I see no ceilings with that. Like, it's like I have no ceilings if I'm being myself. It's nothing that I can't do. It's nowhere that I can't go if I'm just really being true to myself. And if there are places I don't go, I'm fine with that, but I know I can sleep at night because I look for longevity and I study like the best and like everything. And it's like, I just have foresight. Like, yo, I can see where, this is not gonna last. So being yourself is, you're good forever. It's almost like being in the present moment. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
No, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the challenges throughout this journey or throughout like pursuing music or whatever, even being an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
What have some like challenging moments been for you that you can recall that
like in terms of being an athlete,
just overall in your life, some challenging moments that you learned from?
I think one of the biggest things is like, so just confidence, like just having the confidence, because having the confidence at all times, no matter what, like not being, and what helps that is me like being myself and not attaching myself to the results of things or like what I do. So that's like a big mantra of mine. Is like, if you see Snow has on like my merch right there, mm-hmm. and on the back it says, if you're going bold, take that shot. Confidence is everything. That's one of the toughest things I feel like everybody faces. Like, it's like the difference between who you are and who you feel like you want to be is what you believe and like what you say.
Right. So what are your thoughts on like faking it till you make it then? Because that's a version of like false confidence or false sense of success before you really have it.
Yeah.
In hopes of having it, right? So what's your perspective on that?
So then I would ask, what is success? Like what you would like consider success to like fake?
For people, I mean, I can't really speak on what it is for individuals, but from what I've observed, it's essentially like wanting to be higher on the hierarchy, wanting to be respected by people, wanting to be viewed as somebody that's doing more, that's mm-hmm. somebody that's superior. Mm-hmm. And to me, when people want to be in that position, they take elements from successful people mm-hmm. without having put in the work that like warrants having those elements. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like you could listen to like an interview, let's say, of a rapper that you're inspired by,
mm-hmm.
and then you could take the way that they speak, or you could take the way that they carry themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then you could apply it and feel like you are that person, like mm-hmm. you deserve the same amount of respect,
mm-hmm.
and that to me is like faking it till you make it.
Okay.
But I just wanted to hear your perspective on it.
What I believe in, faking it till you make it. I feel like you gotta have some type of fake it. Like, you can't be too super realistic. Like, you gotta dream a little bit. So I see it as like dreaming. It's like, all right, mm-hmm. and just putting yourself in that element, like where you see yourself at, where do you see yourself? And as you envision that, of course, you're gonna move like a certain way, because I think it helps you as well. Like, hey, I see myself, does this reward the highest version of myself that I imagine? Like me being here right now, like is this like contributing to that? And if it's not, it helps you with choices. It's like, nah, it's not, so I don't need to be here. So if you're moving like that, but if you're moving like, oh, I didn't put in any work, and I'm trying to act like, you could see that from a mile away. Like, you could feel that energy when people was doing that, and it doesn't last.
I agree. You think there's value in being realistic, though, sometimes? Because that, like, being realistic almost pushes you to do more.
Mm.
It actually motivates you. Like, if you really, you could have lofty goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against, like, dreaming big.
Mm-hmm.
But you could get lost in that as well. Mm. Have you experienced that? Dreaming, like, too big type, where you're, like, you think what you deserve, like, certain tasks almost become beneath you. You're like, I would never do that, or I don't need to do that.
Mm. I get that.
It keeps you from, like, working on the foundation of, like, what you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's tough. It's like, I think you got to just use your own judgment, because there's certain stuff, when you get to a certain level, after you put in a certain amount of work, it's like, okay, I can't accept that no more. It's almost like, if I'm a rapper, and I'm starting to say I'm getting $100,000 a feature, like, if somebody hits me up and it's like, yo, I got $500 for a feature, my initial reaction is, what? Like, come on now. Like, I've earned this. Like, I've done the work. You see what's going on. But if you believe you that hot, set your price at $100,000, and nobody could get you until they get that, if you really feel that way. But if you really feel that way, then just do that. That's what I see it like that.
But if you really feel that way and you're not worth $100,000, then what do you do? Because then if you don't do those features, mm-hmm. you're missing out on exposure.
You're missing out.
Right.
And then I think it would be up to that person. They would have to live with that. Like, if you're going to make that decision, then you really have to live with that and understand the consequences that you'll be subjecting yourself to.
What do you think this level of, like, self-awareness and just the overall ability to think about these things in your life comes from? Circumstantial? Was it parental influence, or just along the way?
Definitely my parents. My parents inspired me a lot from young. Like, my parents, like, I grew up in the hood, but I had, like, my parents was a little bit different. Like, they were teaching me things. Like, my mom would, like, tell me things. But after that, I think my experiences in life, especially with me changing over careers, like, mm-hmm. this has been a huge, like, I've seen it all at this point. So, especially when I had a field laid out. Like, I had my MBA, I played basketball all this time. So it's like, yo, this is easy, like, right here. And mm-hmm. then you're gonna do this to start at. So I think just me doing that in this time, like, I've learned so much.
Yeah, coming back to, like, essentially level one of a new industry.
Mm-hmm.
What was that time period like for you? Did you always rap growing up, or was it something you acquired, like a skill that you learned?
So I would say it's a skill I've acquired. When I was younger, I used to write poems a lot. I was good at poetry. And once I started playing basketball, like, full time, I fell back from the from the poetry. But the reason why I would say it's a skill, because I practice it. I practice, mm-hmm. like, when I started rapping, I was like, all right, man, I ain't been rapping my whole life. So it's like, all right, I'm going to learn how to rap. Like, I know what I want to say. I got a perspective. So now I got to get the skills to, like, put it together.
Talk about that process, putting the reps in and kind of learning, like, how to rap, essentially.
Okay. I started out, I was in my dorm room. Day one, I was like, oh, so when I was before, I used to try to write raps when I was playing basketball. I was like, damn, I lost it. Like, I can't rap no more. But or just even write, like, stories, because I love stories. Like, I always just said I was going to write a book. I used to write, like, short stories when I was younger.
Dope.
But I was just like, all right, bet. I started doing it. The first time I wrote a song, I wrote it about my friend. I wrote a story. It was like a 5-minute song. It came out easy. So I was excited about that. And my flow sucked. Like, my flow was terrible. Like, I remember sending it to people. It was like, some of my friends would be listening to what I'm saying, but some people would be like, yo, bro. And if you listen to it now, you'd be like, yo. So I just knew I just had to keep on going. Like, I understood I had a perspective, but I got to get nice. Like, it's flows. It's so much more to rap than just, like, what you're saying. Picking beats.
No, exactly. And that's because you're curious about the process as well, right? Like, you you almost respect it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people jump in this space with no respect for the craft.
Yeah.
They think, yo, I'm just going to find a beat and, like, start rapping, and, like, it's going to happen. You really had to put in the reps.
Yeah.
You really had to, I'm sure, study some people,
mm-hmm.
take elements from their approach. So in terms of basketball as well, or in terms of anything, like, the parallel I'm trying to speak on is, entrepreneurship, essentially. When mm-hmm. you're trying to create something or build something, you have to respect the rules within which that thing exists mm-hmm. before you can like think you're cool enough to like change the rules. Mm-hmm. So speak on that process for yourself.
Okay, so when I'm with basketball, that's where I get my work ethic from, is Kobe. Like, I was a huge Kobe fan, like mm-hmm. fanatic. I watched every interview. So that developed into my personality. Like, I was the one that came to practice early. I was the one that stayed later. I was the one to be like real disciplined. Yeah. And with music, so I was like, yo, I'm starting over. So now I got to just look at who I like. So I just had these couple of artists that I really admired. And I went back, I studied them. The first project they put out, that's why a lot of my favorite artists, I know almost every song that they put out, because I was trying to hear them from day one. Like, mm-hmm. I know went back to Kendrick, like, day when he was 16, like, his first mixtape. Like, songs that's not on Spinrilla, it's on YouTube on some random page. Like,
right.
So every like 8, interview.
8,000 views or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would watch every interview, study all their projects, and, like, I bet this is how they came about it. And then I studied them. So,
yeah. That's a really good approach.
Yeah.
And I respect that it's, yeah, I talk to a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs
uh-huh.
and they don't really study the greats before them. Mm. They don't really take elements from their approach or the lessons from the foundations that they've built.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I understand that as well, because like you said, you could put something out on TikTok and you could be the hottest rapper right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to give a fuck about anybody that came before you.
Yeah.
But taking this approach, and like you said, you care about longevity,
mm-hmm.
you know, what makes you want to do that in this day and age where everybody just wants it quick and fast?
What makes me care about longevity? That's the type of person I am. Like, I want to, if I do something, I want to do it like to the fullest. Like, I want to do it like, yo, I'm really like that. So, I just feel like that's the type of person I am. Like, I care about what I do, what I put out. So I had to find a balance between not caring and caring. I'm at that balance. But, I just think that's just the type of person I am, like, authentic, like, real.
Mm. What do you think about the sort of younger generation, which, in my opinion, is all about not giving a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see a lot of people rise in that sort of world as well. It's mm-hmm. a success. Mm-hmm. Where by not giving a fuck or by saying whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your perspective on that?
I think that everybody got some not give a fuck in them. Like, in order to be an artist, you got to have some type, anything. In order to be anything, an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
you got to have some type of not give a fuck. It just comes out different through different people.
Yeah.
Like, a 17-year-old kid not give a fuck. Drill rapper is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go kill everybody. My not give a fuck is, yo, I got an MBA. I don't give a fuck. I want to be a rapper. So it just looks different. It's coming from the same thing. It's just like what you channel that energy to, I feel like.
Yeah. Speak on some of the books that you've read, like, that have inspired you, if any come to mind, or people or interviews. You mentioned Kendrick, but like other people.
Because
you have your mentality is pretty amazing. It's
thanks, man. It's
like, I see that in a lot of successful entrepreneurs.
Thanks, man.
And they maneuver in a similar way. So like, where do you think that got developed?
I think confidence, like
yeah.
the self-awareness coming from that. And so I'll just say one book, The Mastery of Love. Like, The Mastery of Love was like huge, life-changing book for me.
The Mastery of Love?
Yep, The Mastery okay. of Love. Yep. It's a book. It basically teaches you about love. But to summarize it, it's like everything that somebody projects on other people, anything you ever say to anybody is a direct reflection of yourself, how you treat people,
mm-hmm.
all your interactions with people. So now you learn that about yourself. So now when you say certain things, it's like, oh, why did I say that? Yo, so you get self-aware like that. And then you also get aware of other people to learn not to take things personal. Like, you know what? Like, all right, cool.
Truth.
Yeah.
We're living in a time where we're watching and observing more people than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to take shit personal.
Yeah.
Like, every little thing feels like an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some friends that are going through situations right now where they feel like people don't support them, or everything that they hear is like a personal attack to them. And, you know, I can relate to that. Like, I used to be like that, and mm-hmm. I realized, yo, I'm not that important. Like, yeah. They're not thinking about me like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really valuable for people to hear, that it's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of them. It's their insecurities. It's their flaws that they're projecting onto you.
Yeah.
And when you become immune to that, you're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, you're powerful as fuck, because you don't really... Like, as long as your emotional state isn't altered by words that somebody else is speaking,
mm-hmm.
you can't lose.
Yeah.
You can't lose. But at the same time, you have to learn how to speak to them in a way that they understand. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Like, you got to speak to them in a language that they understand.
Because
if you don't, and if you're too, like, how do I say this? Like, if you're too yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you can have a disconnect. So how do you, like, tie that together? Obviously through the music. Mm-hmm. But how do you, like, strategically sort of tie that together?
You said if you disconnect.
Like, by being yourself, you could be polarizing, right? People could initially not like you.
Uh-huh.
But if there's value in making them like you, do you see value in making people like you?
Yeah, I do. But I don't think that it should cost you any energy. Like, I don't believe it should cost you anything to make somebody like you. Unless, you know, you're talking business, and then it's like, yo, all right, you know what? I might want this guy to like me.
Right.
It's like, now you can put your feelings aside and just focus on it's business. You don't attach it to yourself personally. But, nah, I don't think so. I don't think it should cost you anything to try to get people to like you. I think people that you love, and if they reciprocate it and they love you back, then I believe those are the people that you should really be putting energy into. But other than that, nah, I don't think so. But business, if it's not your integrity, then I believe you should be able to maneuver. Like, okay, this guy is an asshole, but we got to get this done. So
right.
I could deal with him, but I'm not going to let him, like, in. Like, I just understand what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, because that's, in my opinion, not spoken about enough. And I feel like a lot of people move like that in this day and age, but they don't make their intentions clear. They're like, all right, we'll fuck with this situation for, like, whatever, but I don't know. I mean, this is just a thought I'm exploring right now. Is there value in truly being authentic and, like, letting people know, yo, this is how I really feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, what are we doing after this, you know? Like, we can do business if you want to do business, but this is how I truly feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we lack that. There's a lot of political correctness, or there's a lot of, like, I can't say the wrong thing, I can't say this. But anyway, we can move on to some of the challenges music-wise.
Okay.
It's a tough industry,
yeah.
In my opinion, and there's so many people that are trying to do the same thing. How do you, like, how do you move in that way, and how do you separate yourself?
By just being myself. Like, the more that I'm being myself, is the more I'm getting rewarded for it, the more risk I take. Like, I just wrote something, a song, I was like, a man can only be as big as the risk that he take. So if you can only win $1,000 if you bet $1,000. So you just gotta just do it. And it's challenging. I'm an independent artist, but things come together. I've been making, like, a lot of progress. It's been people reaching out to me, you know, and just keep going. Like, your intuition, like, what you want to do. Yeah.
What are some things you've had to sacrifice to make this a reality?
To make this a reality, what did I have to sacrifice? I think I sacrificed some time in my early 20s, I would say. I feel like I sacrificed some time where, like I said, a lot of people start rapping when they're 16. Like, putting their first song out. People have been putting out songs since they was 12 years old. Like, I put my first song out when I was 24, like, right 2 months before I was about to graduate. So that right there, and then I didn't just, like, catapult into the industry. So I feel like it's almost like I had to figure myself out. Whereas if I was in another lane, it would have been easy. But I feel like I would have went through all the things that I went through, just in general, like, maneuvering the music, like, I would have experienced that. But I just happened to experience it, like, right there. So time getting better, developing myself, like, figuring out what I want, like, how I'm gonna do it, not what I want to do, how I'm gonna do it, and yeah.
So kind of like learning as you go in a way as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about any sort of early stage of any journey. Mm-hmm. It's very, like you talked about, taking a risk.
Yeah.
It's very uncertain.
Yeah.
You don't really necessarily know if it's going to happen or if it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can I mean, there's so many approaches you can take, right? Like, people sell courses on how to market and whatever. So what was, like, your thinking behind the marketing aspect, the relationship building aspect? Like, was that something you actively thought of, or, again, like, it just kind of happened?
Like, early on?
Yeah, just to get just the in music general. Out there.
Okay, so, for instance, like, when I put my first song out, I was like, all right, yo, I'm in school. I want to be a rapper. What's going to get move people? I'm like, if I come out with a song, like, I'm like, yo, what's good? Cause that's another reason why I got to be authentic. Because, like, I'm, like, I'm a person before music. Like, I had a whole life before music. So it's like, bro, I know the whole New York City. Everybody knows me. I had A's and B's. I went to school. I was a smart kid. I went to practice. I wasn't, like, in the streets. So it's like, I can't come out talking about
gangster shit.
Yeah, gangster shit. And if I do, when I do blow up, it's like, now I'm a fraud. Like, where I live at. Like, now it's like, it's fake. And I'm not willing to make it real. Like, I don't want to, I'm not trying to be that. I'm not, this is not what I'm trying to do. Like, this is me, and this is why I'm cool. So, that whole thing, right? I want to circle back. Tell me one more time.
I just want to tangent. What you're saying is beautiful, and you can keep going. It's like, you don't want to do something that's going to bite you in the future.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that. But my question was, like, in terms of marketing,
because
there seems to be a lot of strategy in your approach. Like, what was the marketing strategy?
So it was like, yo, I got to tell these people my story. Like, I'm the basketball player. I got to tell these people I'm starting to rap. Why I'm starting to rap? How I'm gonna connect to these people? The plan. I'm like, yo, I'm talking to my mom. I'm like, mom, I want to be a rapper. She's like, what? You trying to be a rapper? I got to take them through that emotion to just explain to them. I got to tell them about me. So they could feel me. I got to connect to the people. Like Kendrick said something. First, I won the hearts, and then I shoot for the Grammys. That was only like his first thing. So I'm like, all right, this is my way. Like, I'm not going to win the – if I play this game right here, I'm not going to win. Like, and if I do win, it's going to be fake. It's not going to be real. So I'm like, what's a way that I could really win and really, like, constantly elevate?
So there was no sort of – I don't want to say sense of urgency, because there is obviously a sense of urgency, right? You're driven to do things. But there was no, like, desperation when it comes to, yo, I got to monetize this shit, like, ASAP and make money right now.
Nah, bro.
It's like, I'll do it as long as it takes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was some desperation. Like, yo, but the desperation didn't turn into me, like, becoming something that I'm not, or trying to do something that I didn't feel, but for other people to like me. It was the desperation was like, I want to do this. So what I'm going to do now, I got to figure out something else to continue to do it how I want to do it until the way I'm doing it works to the point where it's like, yeah, we here.
What was your mom's reaction?
I said, it was, hold on. My mom was half asleep when I told her that I wanted to be a rapper and no longer an athlete. I told her the Knickerbockers wouldn't draft me, so I drafted out playing, put my words over rap beats. She didn't understand. You've been playing ball your whole life. So my mom is like, what? Like, she was asleep. I was home from school. She woke, she was half asleep. I told her, mom, I want to be a rapper. And she was like, what? Like she saw a rapper is like Bobby Smurda. I said that in another song. I thought the rapper was like Bobby Smurda. I'm like, nah, like, I'm going to be another type of rapper. So she like, what? Like, what you mean? Da, 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 da. So she didn't take it lightly. My dad didn't take it good at all, because we – and another plan, I was like, we done shot jump shots in the rain 2 a.m. You even got a fan base, the mailman, little man, tell his friends, you know, you like, I'm looked up to, like,
right
in the hood. Like, I'm a basketball player. Like, that's like one of the best things you could be in the hood. So, and my dad is heavily involved in that. He coming to every game. Everybody know him in the city. And I'm not just like, I'm a good basketball player. So it's like, circling back. They didn't take it good. They didn't take it well. My mom a little bit more, but my dad, it was some friction.
So what made you actually want to be a rapper then? Because you had a career path, like, essentially mapped out.
Yeah.
Like, you said you could have gone pro or whatever. Like,
yeah, I could, like, I could, yeah. So I'll tell you, me going pro, I felt like that wasn't, like, sustainable for me. Like, I felt like I was going to be doing it, but I was more so doing it for other people. Like, I felt like I would have been doing it, like, yo, okay, I did it, like, yeah, like.
But no happiness.
Yeah, and I felt like I wasn't willing to, I didn't have the same passion to be able to, like, go, because I've been through a lot with basketball. So it was like, bro, I'm not, this is not it. And I felt like I had a ceiling in it. Like, I felt like a lot of people, like, I was more regarded as a person all the time, more so than a basketball player, I felt like. So a part of that contributed to it. And I just don't like having ceilings. Like, I don't like people telling me what I can and can't do. Like, I take that shit personal. Like, it's like, what? Like, why you, like, for what? Especially when people just do it unwarranted. So I just felt like if I got to, I don't like having ceilings, bro. Like, for me, like, personally. So I just said, yo, I'm good at this. Like, and I know, like, I could be good and better and do the things I want to do. Like, I can help people, like, on another level.
Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
I wish you all the best. I appreciate you being here. Please let the people know where they can find you, the music, clothing, anything else.
Okay. On all social media platforms, my name is Joe Cash, JOECA$H. I'm on all streaming platforms with my music, and on all social media platforms, I'm _ Joe Cash. I have Cash a Dream, which is my company. We have some merch, apparel, and everything. So you can shoot us a DM, and whatever you need, we here.